Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you chose to be with me or found me or stumbled upon me on this seventh day of November 2021. There are no accidents. Believe me, there are none. We all have our little divine rendezvous, and if this is your divine rendezvous with me, I am very grateful, and I hope I'm able to serve you well with this rendezvous. We're going to be talking about being literal-minded, something that I guess a lot of us struggle with more than a few. I'd say 99 and nine-tenths of the population struggle with it. But then again, there are others who pride themselves on it. What does it mean to be literal-minded? It means that I take everything at face value. I take everything from the perception of my genetics, my bias in my genetics. I contort what is happening. I make it seem either better or worse, depending upon how I want to posture the event in my life and either make myself out the victor or the victim. It all depends on how we do this. And we do it without really knowing what we're doing because we're so deeply and profoundly unconscious about our life and about the makeup of our biology, the makeup of our mind. We don't understand very much about how we're built, the way our chemistry runs. We are not taught when we are little to maybe question the way we live our life, question the way we think. They call it critical thinking. I don't see it that way at all. I see it as self-observation. And I think there's a vast difference between self-observation and critical thinking. Critical thinking is where, obviously, I'm looking at my mind and my thoughts from the point of view of being critical of them. And I don't feel that helps anybody any more than punishing someone for what they've done that seems abusive or wrong really helps. We have to really understand the nature of the brain, the nature of the body, the chemistry, the hormones, the whole situation that lives within our brain, and the chemistry that denotes whether or not we're using serotonin or we're dopamining or whatever. And we have a lot of weird ways of dopamining our brain. Anyway, all of this comes to bear when we think in terms of being literal-minded. So I get questions about this, and you know, a lot of people write me and I don't understand why you do and then what they don't understand is that they are taking everything in a literal way, and so they miss. So here's the first question from Trevor in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Milwaukee. Wasn't that a beer place or something? I don't know. In the 70s, there was that TV program. Laverne and Shirley. Yeah. Maybe he knew Laverne or Shirley. I have a literal mind, he says. It is very annoying. What can I do about it? I take everything literally and miss the point, and now it's beginning to threaten my marriage and my job. Trevor. Trevor, don't argue. That one of the things, I don't want you to have your job or your relationship and your marriage threatened because you're literal-minded. Being literal-minded simply means that you take the impulses from your body, from your genetic nature, and you do not observe the damage or the structure of it, the integrity of it, or whatever, the reasoning behind it. You just go for it. It's the first impulse, and part of that is fight or flight. It is an impulse in all of us to survive. And if you understand that the first impression that most of us get, emotionally speaking, is to survive and how to survive, then you understand why you have this instinct, as it is often called and referred to deal with whatever is going on in your life that seems threatening. So one of the things you can do, if you're willing of this, is to observe what you feel threatened about from within yourself. Take a look at your parents. Take a look at, if they're still alive, your grandparents. Start to observe, what is it that made them the way they are? Now, if you understand what I'm saying here, it will help you immensely. The immensity of it is simply this. What did they react to? What were they drawn to? What were they looking at within themselves or from within themselves that made them have the point of view that they took about any given subject? I always asked, what are they afraid of? What is it I'm missing? When I was a little boy, I would watch my parents. I did not understand why they argued. I did not understand why they were even together. I did not understand the coping mechanism they used. And what I would do is ask them, why do you say this? Why do you do that? And of course, I was told to step aside in a polite way. I'm putting it, I was told actually to shut up and mind my own business, which was probably a good idea at the time. But still, my curiosity and my interest in what constitutes a person's relationship with another, what is it we're really looking at? And it boils down to the relationship I'm having with myself. And that boils down to the relationship I'm having with myself is exactly the result of the relationship my mother and father were having with each other. So without knowing it, they cultivated me and the way I think and how I think. And if you can observe all these things, just watch without applying a good, a bad, a right, a wrong to these things, these elements, you will suddenly realize without any shadow of a doubt what's really going on. You are responding and reacting to your biology. That's it. Now, the question is, in all of that, are you getting an accurate picture? And I'm sure you can see that that would be very difficult. What would be an accurate picture of anything that we are up against in the course of a life or are presented with? What would that be? How would you ever know within yourself, really ever know, what is going on truly? You look at the way people act and the way they talk, and you see only the periphery of their fears, the periphery of their animosity towards anything that would disrupt the way they want to think, the way they want to believe. And if you understand that about people, and if you understand that about yourself, then you can come to a place where you are no longer literal-minded. You will see the literacy of it all, how literal a situation can appear to be, but you won't get involved in it. You won't make it the final conclusion. It is very, very important, Trevor, very important, never to come to the final conclusion of anything. Should you do that, should you come to the final conclusion of anything, you will miss the meaning of your meeting with another person. Some people need to destroy relationships. They just do. And they destroy them for purposes that have to do with right and wrong, good and bad, selfish purposes. And it could make it really ugly. And I understand that. You deal with people right and left, day in, day out, you don't know who they really are or what they're struggling with. So if I'm literal-minded, I won't have the compassion to be kind to them And when I lose that, then I lose one of the most important aspects of myself and my life, which is called mercy, the power of forgiveness. That's it. I got to go on. Thank you, Trevor, for your kind question and for your kind comments. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next one comes from Lance. He does not tell me where he lives. Why is the within so difficult? Why is it I cannot see it? It seems so obscure to me. I understand this question very deeply after 50 years of teaching. I have had to deal with all sorts of people who were very literal-minded, and they could not recognize anything of their within. They reacted and acted and reacted and acted in very, very ugly ways that did not bring about any sense of peace or kindness or mercy. And I want to say this to you, Lance, and I hope my audience can understand it as well, if you can really get into this. In any given situation that you are in with another person, you must realize eventually your need to forgive and to be forgiven in that situation. It is a very difficult thing for most people to come to. So when you enter into a situation, you have to have the merciful heart. The one that is telling you, don't make problems where they don't need to be. Don't make issues out of small things. Don't use the parochial petty mind to analyze another person and come to a conclusion about them. Don't do that. Don't make for what you would have to eventually forgive yourself for. Always live in the ebb and flow of a merciful state of mind where you are no longer trying to make a person a friend or a villain. Just observe. What is it about me that made them possible in my life? Now, if you can do that, which you can, if you can look at it from that point of view, which you can, then you can see what is deeply and truly important about any given relationship you might have. It takes many, many lifetimes for the average person to get to the point where they are willing to see the within and what's going on. The reason, as you put it, it's so obscure to you is because of course, the literal-mindedness of it all and the pride that foresees conclusions that we come to from within ourselves. This pride is merciless. This pride is vanity. And a lot of us have used this pride as a way to deal with our low self-esteem about ourselves. And when that low self-esteem hits the pinnacle of its power in us, we find that we just don't want to look at what's going on within us that is betraying us, that is not allowing us to have a sense of love. So there's your issue, my dear one. And what you really want to do is always, always have a sense of mercy about anything that you're doing with another person. Give them a break. I gotta go. I'm out of time. Thank you for your wonderful question, Lance, and please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. Be back on the air next week. I really hope you'll join me. Thank you for listening, And as always, please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.